Blog Talk Radio.
Follow the scripture. So this ministry is designed to bring biblical insight to current issues, address your need, and plant the seed of godly purpose, and to share with you testimonies and ministries of others who will inspire you and motivate you to live a life purpose for godliness, or to live a life for the purpose of godliness. We changed the name. Call in, share your testimony. 347-989-0144 every weekend at 8:30 to 9 a.m. Pacific time. And we do appreciate your support. Again, the call-in number is 347-989-0144. You can also email me at purposeforgodliness@gmail.com. We will change the email address to coincide with the show. But you can still email me, inbox me on Facebook. I'm on social media with your prayer requests, your praise report, words of encouragement, suggestions for the show. Listen, I want you to be encouraged because God has a purpose for you. Again, our number is 347-989-0144. And thank you so much for joining me this morning. God is good and worthy to be praised. Yes, he is. Listen, I don't know anything else right now but the word of God. That's all I need is the word of God. Oh, my goodness. He is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we could ask or think according to the power that's working in us. Amen. Amen. So, listen, let's listen to a little more of this song. And then I want you to get your Bibles and turn to Psalm 13. Amen. So we're just going to listen to a little bit more of this song, and then we'll come back, and I'll share with you what God has placed on my heart this morning. Come on, let us pray.
Come on, let us pray.
yeah, he can handle it. He can handle it. Anything, whatever you're going through, God can handle it. All right, get your Bibles, Psalm 13. One announcement before I go there. Just want to invite you to our church, my church, our church, Lifeline Missions Unlimited Incorporated Worship Center. We have service every Tuesday, every Thursday, every Sunday. Tuesday Bible study at 6 p.m. We'll have Bible study this Tuesday. And then there'll be dates and others. Because of the holidays, we're going to not have Bible study again until December 5th, I think that is. Thursday's noonday prayer. Oh, my goodness. Noonday prayer is like church service. It's powerful time in the Lord. Noonday prayer on Thursday. Sundays at 9:30 is morning prayer. And then at 10 a.m. is our services. The address is 381-386 Street East in the city of Palmdale, California. So if you're in the Antelope Valley area, come on out and join us. I guarantee you, you will have a wonderful time in the Lord. And I promise you, you will not leave the same, because the Spirit of the Lord meets us there every Tuesday, Thursday, and Sunday. Again, the address is 381-386 Street East in the city of Palmdale, California. All right, Psalm 13. I've been, yesterday, I talked about defeat. And when the Spirit of the Lord placed on my heart defeat, and I thought it was going to be my thought was the negative side of defeat. You know, we are, I won't say I am not defeated, but, you know, being defeated in some areas, let's just say that. And I went to look it up and looked up scripture, and then I became so encouraged. When I looked up the definitions and the scriptures, I was so encouraged by the definition. So let me just read some of the definitions. It is, and it does say, Webster does say it, that is failure, loss, to drift away, to struggle against, a stronghold, a fortress. It is to, in the Hebrew, it is to murmur or roar in battle. It's weakness, prostration, to break, to frustrate, to push back. To stub the toe, okay? Now, inflict a disease, to beat, to hurt, a plague, to slay, smite, strike, stumble, strengthen, to touch, to reach, to strike. In the Greek, it's all of those things. In the Greek, I'm sorry, in the Greek is failure, loss. Deflect, drift away, to struggle against, stronghold, fortress, all of these things. And so when I read the scripture and the definition, I became encouraged, because the Bible says the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. So that's 2 Corinthians 10:4. I know, to the pulling down of strongholds. And so a stronghold is a fortified fortress. I know that sounds redundant, right? It's a fortified defense, a military stronghold, a strong wall, a fortress. It's used as, listen, it's used as a false argument in which a person seeks shelter, a safe place to escape reality. So what is your safe place to escape reality? Wow. A safe place, a heavily, heavily fortified containment, a false argument in which a person seeks shelter, a safe place to escape reality. So Paul tells us to pull down strongholds, casting out imaginations and every high thing that comes against the knowledge of God. And being ready to defend all disobedience when our obedience is fulfilled. Just want to put that out there. So when I begin to read about defeat is not for the believer. It's not. is not for the believer in Christ Jesus. We are more than conquerors because Christ loves us. All right? So I want to read Psalm 13. That's just a little tidbit. And then yesterday I read Psalm 13 in Our Daily Bread. And it just kind of spoke to me because it talks about the struggles that this couple had after they lost their child. And the mother praying and seeking God for advice and instruction. So here is a little excerpt of Our Daily Bread. It's really short. It says, this family's precious little boy showed them and us that we must depend on God for everything, especially when things go horribly wrong, because sometimes we do feel defeated and things go horribly wrong to make us feel like we are defeated. And notice I said to make us feel like we're defeated. The hard yet comforting truth is that God meets us in our pain. He meets us in our struggle, in our defeat. He knows the grief of losing a son, S-O-N. And Jesus and the Bible says that we have not a high priest that cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. In all points, tempted as we are, yet without sin. So in our deepest pain and our deepest struggle, we turn to David because he writes out his own grief. How long must I wrestle with my thoughts and day after day have sorrow in heart? Give light to my eyes or I sleep in death. Yet David could give his biggest questions to God, but I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. My heart rejoices in your salvation. So Psalm 13 says, how long wilt thou forget me, O Lord? Forever. How long wilt thou hide thy face from me? How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? How long shall mine enemy be exalted over me? Here is David's three requests. Consider and hear, O Lord, my God, lighten mine eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death, lest my enemy say I have prevailed against him, and those that trouble me rejoice when I am moved. Here is the secret. David says, but I have trusted in thy mercy. My heart shall rejoice in thy salvation. I will sing unto the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me. So David has three requests. He says, consider, hear me, and lighten my eyes. And then the reason is he said, lest I die, lest my enemies brag of victory over me, lest those that tempt me rejoice over my fall or my failings. But here is the thing. He says in verse 5, but I have trusted in thy mercy. I trust in your mercy. I trust in your mercy. I will sing unto the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me. I trust in your mercy. My heart rejoices in you, and I will sing unto the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me. So no matter what we're going through, and we sometimes do feel defeated, but just remember the three things that David did. And I'm going to read it out of the Message Bible too. He says, I trust in your mercy. I will sing. I trust in your mercy. My heart shall rejoice. And I will sing unto the Lord. Okay. All of these things we need to do. When things get rough, this is what we need to do. And when we do that, we defeat and frustrate the works of the devil. Yes, we do. Yes, we do. Yes, we do. Okay, so in the Message Bible, it says, long enough, God, you've ignored me long enough. I've looked at the back of your head long enough, because sometimes we feel like God is far away. Long enough, I've carried this ton of trouble. lived with a stomach full of pain. Long enough, my arrogant enemies have looked down their noses at me. Take a look at me, God, my God. I want to look life in the eye so no enemy can get the best of me or laugh when I fall on my face. He says, I throw myself headlong into your arms. I'm celebrating your rescue, God's rescue of us. I'm singing at the top of my lungs. I'm so full of answered prayers. I'm so full of answered prayers. Listen, as believers in Christ, we are so full of God's prayers that he has answered for us. So my question is, what has God done for you lately? What can you rejoice in right now that God has done for you? Okay, now, listen, let me give you one. He's given us life. Salvation. That's number two. He's given us life. He's given us salvation. He's given us his son, Jesus, who died on the cross for our sins and rose again for our justification. All of these things God has done for us. Listen, and you personally, what has God done for you personally? What has he done for you? So in the midst of everything that we go through, and I say this a lot, and it was so amazing yesterday after the show, I had my own little personal struggle right after. I mean, just boom, right after. I had my own little personal struggle. And I had to remember something that the Lord had given me. Because, see, we live in time, T-I-M-E. We live in time. We work in time. We live in time. We struggle in time, time. But here is the thing. We serve a timeless God. And so sometimes, you know, we forget that we have eternity living on the inside of us, abundant life living on the inside of us, and the struggles and things that we see in life, which is a reality because we are living in this world and things happen. I am not unaware of the things that happen in life, but I'm also aware of this. That we have eternity living on the inside of us, and we serve a timeless God. And so the Spirit of the Lord dealt with me in prayer one day, and he said, you live in time. He says, you live in time. That's how he dealt with me. You live in time. Your struggles are in time, T-I-M-E. You see your struggles based on time. But God told me, he said, you need to stand in eternity. Now, I'm not real sure what that means. I'm not going to say, God is, listen, his thoughts are not mine, his ways are not mine. And, you know, he is so far above what I could think. So I said, I'm going to work on that, find out what that means, to stand in eternity, to see my struggles beyond time. And here is the thing. One thing I do know for sure, Jesus taught us how to pray, that, you know, the will of God be done on earth as it is in heaven. So as I stand in eternity, there is no sickness, there is no lack, there is no frustration, there is no struggle in eternity. All of it is done away with, paid in full. It is finished. That's what Jesus said, paid in full. So, you know, we need to set our hearts, our affections on things above. That's what Paul says. Set your heart, set your affections on things above. Yes, we live on this earth. Yes, things happen and will happen. But as believers in Christ, we must learn how to stand in the timelessness of God. Oh, I love that. Stand in the timelessness of God. Don't let our struggles and our frustrations and the cares of this life get us down. We are not defeated. We are not defeated. We are not defeated. And if you read the back of the book, the Bible, we win. The devil, death, hell, and the grave, the devil, all of it is thrown into the lake of fire. Oh, yeah, I believe it. Yes, I do. I believe there's a hell, but more importantly, I believe there's a heaven because that's where I'm going. Yes, I do. Yes, I do. So we have to keep our hearts and our minds focused on heavenly things. So I'm going to read this Romans 8 in the Message Bible, Romans 8:31 through 39, and then pray for you and that you go for your day. It says, so what do you God on our side like this? How can we lose if God didn't hesitate to put everything on the line for us, embracing our condition, exposing himself to the worst by sending his own son? Is there anything else he wouldn't gladly and freely do for us? Think about it. For who would dare tangle with God by messing with one of his chosen? Who would dare even point a finger? The one who died for us, who was raised to life for us, is in the presence of God at this very moment, sticking up for us. King James says, make it intercession. Do you think anyone is going to be able to drive a wedge between us and Christ's love for us? There is no way. Not trouble, not hard times, not hatred, not hunger, not homelessness, not bullying threats, not backstabbing, not even the worst sins listed in the scripture. They kill us in cold blood because they hate us. We're sitting ducks. They pick us off one by one. The Bible, King James said, we are sheep counted for the slaughter. We are sitting ducks. That's what the Message Bible says. Then it goes on to say, none of this fazes us because Jesus loves us. Paul says in the Message Bible, I'm absolutely convinced that nothing living or dead, angelic or demonic, today or tomorrow, high or low, thinkable or unthinkable, absolutely nothing can get between us and God's love because of the way that Jesus, our Master, has embraced us. Nothing. You have to be fully persuaded in your mind that neither height nor depth nor anything can separate you from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. You have to be absolutely certain of that. So listen, I'm certain of it. Paul says, I'm fully persuaded. I'm certain. Are you certain? Are you certain? And the enemy comes to make us uncertain. Yes, he does. Yes, he does. He comes to frustrate. He comes to frustrate us, make us feel like, and let me say this again, make us feel like we're defeated, but we are not defeated. We are more than conquerors because Christ loves us, and he loves us today. He'll love us tomorrow, and he'll love us throughout eternity. You have to get that in your mind and know that Christ loves you. Okay, Paul says, I want to read this out of King James. I know I read it in the Message Bible, just bear with me. Paul says in Romans 8:38, for I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities, nor demonic powers, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing. Nothing. So I just want to encourage you that no matter what you're going through, I know I'm sounding redundant. I do, but I need to encourage somebody. No matter what you're going through, no matter what you're going through, only God can bring significance, ultimate significance to any tragic event. Only God can. Only he can. All things work together for good. Only God can do that. And here's the thing, as we stand in eternity while we're here on earth, people will begin to ask us. You know, I hear people, especially my husband, he kind of makes fun of me because, you know, just say Jesus and, you know, I'm clapping my hands and shouting and I'm all in. I'm all in because God has been so great. And here's the thing, my personal testimony, I don't say I'm a recovering alcoholic or junkie or anything, because the Bible says any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. That's standing in eternity. So I used to be a junkie. I used to be an alcoholic. I used to be a party girl. I used to be. And when I realize what God has done for me and what he continues to do for me, even in those days, like yesterday, when I wasn't quite there, I was struggling with my own thoughts and my own issues and concerns. Even in those times, God always reminds me that I told you that you have to stand in eternity, because Paul says these are light afflictions. And I know it doesn't feel like a light affliction, because when you lose everything and you lose family members and just lost, period, friendships or anything, or things are not quite going our way and it just seems like the weight of the world is on our shoulders and it's just about us and what I'm going through and how I'm feeling and nobody cares and nobody sees me and no one understands and all of this stuff. Paul says it's light affliction, because when you see it in the realm of eternity, it's a light affliction. When you realize one day, not even one day, when you realize right now you are standing in the heavenlies, you are seated in heavenly places, that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, okay, I feel like I want to shout right now, and that God knows your name, not that you know him, but he knows you, your own personal name, your personal name, that he knows you. When you realize that, my goodness, what we go through is such a small thing. And I know I'm going to be reminded of on a daily basis. I'm reminded of it now. And later on today, God willing, I'll be reminded of it again. We got to stand, in eternity and see our struggles as paid in full. See our struggles as it is finished. See our struggles in the light of God through his eyes. In him there is no darkness at all. In him there is no struggle, no darkness, no lack. In him, but you have to be in him. Amen, amen. So, let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you and we praise you. We magnify you, we glorify you. We thank you, Lord, for your goodness and for your mercy and your grace. We thank you, Lord, because today we stand in eternity. We see ourselves through your eyes, knowing, God, that everything that happens in our lives, you knew before the foundation of the world. You knew it. You knew it. You have already given us the strength and the fortitude and the courage to defeat and frustrate the works of the devil. So, Father, I thank you and I praise you now for what you're doing. Thank you for your keeping power. Thank you for your strength all day. Thank you for your healing virtue. We are healed. We are already healed because of what you've done for us on the cross. It is finished. It is done. It is fixed. Ha! In the name of Jesus. So, Father, I thank you and I praise you for what you're doing now. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Listen, I thank you so much for joining me today. Pray for me as I do the work of the Lord. I'm praying for you. Amen. Pray for this ministry for the purpose of godliness. Pray for Lifeline Missions. Amen. Pray for our pastor. I didn't say his name. Pastor Melvin Smith, I love you. 42 years, November the 6th. So I love you. Love you all. Continue to pray for us. I am praying for you. And listen, I want you to know that as we continue to do the work of the Lord, it is for the purpose of godliness. All right? Love you with the love of Jesus. Have a wonderful, wonderful day. And I want you to know these are the best days of our lives. All right? Have a great day. God bless you.